ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our man Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD here on the program on Robbie and Rex Road. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. What's going on? How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, I heard you and Stillman talking yesterday on the Power Hour. It was a really interesting conversation on the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders front. And, you know, we had Charles Robinson on yesterday talking about, you know, what the potential asking price, at least at the moment, could be to move up, and mentioned like three first-round picks or the value of that. We'll see as to whether or not that actually happens here. But if you're the Titans – and you're kind of looking at this, and all the signs seem to be taking a quarterback based on what they've not done at that position with their roster right now. Like, how attractive should a trade back still be in your mind to them? And how much is it as simple as you guys need a quarterback, you've got an opportunity to select one here and start to elevate your franchise and Cam Ward, just go do it?
Yeah, you know, to me, the offer needs to be like Carry Champion level attractive. Like, it has to be an offer that you just can't say no to. And I say that because this is a team that needs a quarterback. This is a coach that needs to show his worth. And I think it's a franchise that wants to allow the coach to do that. And then Cam Ward, by the way, is a pretty good prospect. So for me, it would take an awful lot to move off of it. I don't think the Titans should move unless they get an offer along the lines of what Charles Robinson said. Like, that's one where I'd be like, okay, you know what? Yeah, we might just have to make that move. But otherwise, I'm chilling. I'm a stick and pick.
Do you, you know, we had Stilly on earlier. I'm sure he said this to you yesterday too. Do you buy, I guess, the idea that this all shows that they don't necessarily love Cam Ward? You know, if they loved him, it'd be over, you know, and it would have been clear from all along. Meanwhile, it seems like they're making sure it's out there that they're still listening.
Yeah, listen, he needs to be somewhere like with George Lucas, you know, Spike Lee, those guys, you know, the storyline. Like, he has a very good ability to make up storylines. Look, not coming out and saying, hey, this is our guy, or not coming out and saying, hey, we refuse trades or anything like that. What do they gain from that? Literally, what do they gain from it? Nothing, right? What do they lose if they do that? Well, you lose the opportunity where a desperate team would you know, reach out to you. Like, I think what they're doing is fine. They're playing it kind of by the rules, right? You know, just keeping it coy and not devoting themselves to either direction, but and keeping both doors open, which to me is smart business. Now, talking to Cam, they could tell him, hey, look, man, like, we really like you. We would like to make you the pick. But I don't see any reason why they should have to shut a door on anything.
So, TD, I want to bring up Brian Callahan with you because, you know, I was somebody that at the end of last year would have loved for the Titans to just clean house. Like, if you're going to fire Brant Carthon, I probably would have liked to have seen them fire Callahan as well. Obviously, they didn't, so that part of it's irrelevant now. But if you draft Cam Ward, and let's say next season, you know, you see a little bit of progress from Cam Ward, you're feeling good about it, but the win-loss total doesn't improve all that much based on where their roster is right now. Like, to me, what I don't want to see happen is Cam Ward get drafted, they go through a year with Brian Callahan, and then they immediately fire Brian Callahan, and Cam Ward's in year two going with another coach and learning a new system and doing all those things. We see that happen too often in the NFL. So how do you view the drafting of Cam Ward and what that could mean for Brian Callahan if that's the way they go?
So basically what you're telling me is you don't want to see what happened in Chicago happen here.
That is correct.
That's essentially, yeah. Right. And I agree with you. I think it's bad for business, right? And so, you know, you want Brian Callahan to win. You want the franchise to do better. I think drafting Cam Ward is just simply going to help that, because, you know, the one thing that I do see from Cam that kind of separates me from you know, what I look at with Shador is the ability to make others better, right? I think Shador can kind of do that, but he's one of those guys that's going to, you know, function within the system. He'll make some really good, accurate throws and keep things moving. Like I said yesterday, kind of like a high-end Ryan Tannehill to me.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at Cam Ward and the dynamic plays that he can make, you know, not only off schedule, but, you know, within the structure of offense too, I think that just opens up a lot more things for a Calvin Ridley, for a Bryce Oliver, you know, for whoever they should draft. So I definitely think Cam Ward puts him in the right direction.
So TD, do you, you know, kind of on the other side of, you know, this, you know, I mean, I expect him to take Cam Ward. It looks to me like, you know, it looks to me like probably some kind of deal to move Will Levis for, you know, a low round pick swap is probably, you know, probably likely. You know, we did have Charles Robinson yesterday talking about how, like, Cleveland and they're sort of some weirdness with what they're doing, and the quarterback, they have the private workout with Cam Ward. The Giants signed the two guys. I mean, it's still, you know, it doesn't necessarily end it for them. But then you have, you know, you've got the Saints who have everybody at Cam Ward's thing. You have, you know, the Steelers are there. We're wondering what the heck they're going to do with the position. Like, do you think there is anybody who like might actually throw like something significant to try to get this guy?
Well, I mean, a team like the Saints, you know, the Steelers, they're going to have to do that in order to move up and get where they are. You know, that would have to be a big-time move, you know, a king's ransom, so to speak, you know, to move up to there. I think you look at it, the Browns, I don't think what they're doing is strange. Just look, they have the number two pick. If they decide to try to swap pick, it's important to work Cam out and see him and do all that as part of the process. So I think the Browns, they really hold the key to everything, you know, because the Giants, why would the Titans trade with the Giants if they felt that, you know, they can't get Shador or Cam, right? And the only way that they can't get one of the two is if, you know, the Browns pick. So it's just a little bit jumbled up top, but I don't see either of them going later. You know, well, Cam, we know he's going one, but Shador, like, I don't see him making it past, like, the Raiders at 7, to be honest with you.
So, TD, I'm totally with you on pick 35 and how intriguing that could be for the Titans in terms of the idea of moving down there. I'm torn, though, because it in some ways, to me, it's kind of similar to number one. Like, you could move off number one and get some picks and stockpile your draft capital that way. At the same time, TD, at 35, like, I'd love to trade back. But if there's, you know, a wide receiver or an edge rusher there, I mean, you brought up Landon Jackson yesterday, and I'm totally with you. Like, I think that guy is really, really good. Like, so right. I guess what I'm saying is, like, I love the idea of trading back and picking up more picks, but if one of those guys there is there at 35, it's going to be hard for me if I'm the Titans to turn that down, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And, I said Raiders at 7. I'm in at 6. I know the Jets pick 7, so don't kill me, folks in the chat, whatever.
How dare you?
you're right. At 35, like, there should be an opportunity to get prospects that were predicted to be in the first round. And that's why those first three or so picks, like, they're always so hot, you know, on day two, because it's like, wait a second. Because the dust clears, and you know, they're like, hold up, man.
Yeah.
This dude dropped? Let me go get him, you know. And I think, you know, you saw the Titans do that a couple years ago, you know, when they moved up to get Will Levis. And we know they were attempting to move up towards the back end of the first round to get him. But they saw he was still there, and they jumped up and they got him. And I think that's something that you'll see teams try to do. But to your point, like, there could be a prospect like a Landon Jackson, you know, a Donovan Ezeraku, like those types there. And if they're there at 35, I think you need to jump on them. But then the thing you got to weigh out is like, okay, so you got Donovan Ezeraku, you got Landon Jackson, they're available. You got Kyle Kinnard. How far back can you move to get him and still get some compensation? And if you can do that, what's the difference between the two? Like, can you afford to go from those guys to Kinnard? And I think that's something else that they have to weigh out. And it's a process. But, I mean, you look at the edge defenders. Like I said yesterday, outside of Max Crosby, for the most part, most of these guys are obtained with like a top 40 pick. So you almost have to, if you want to impact for one, you have to get them early. You know, day one, obviously, but then early day two.
TD, what's your read on the Abdul Carter thing? With the, you know, like now all of a sudden no pro day and, you know, talking about the shoulder, et cetera.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, back at the combine, you know, when that came, I remember jumping on Jared's show, you know, on the Power Hour that Thursday after it came out. And I was like, you know what, if I'm him, I don't work out. Like, do you not have enough film to see that I'm an impact player? Do you not have enough? I think really the big thing with him is they have to figure out, okay, did that injury happen during the year or did it happen during training? Because if it happened during the year and he played the way he did, all right, cool. You know what? We're just going to get that thing some time to heal. Stay off your feet, young man. And you know, the shoulder will allow that to heal a little bit too. And when it's time to roll you out, we'll roll you out. But we'll get the benefit in the back end of the year. But if it happened during training, then it's like, okay, wait a minute. Is this enough to impact like his extreme get off, his athleticism, his ability to run plays down on the other side of the line of scrimmage? So it takes some balancing. The main thing is finding out when it happened.
Well, TD, thanks as always for being with us today here on the program. We are inching ever closer to the draft, thankfully, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it. And if anybody gets a chance, you know, check out Talking with TD. We did HBCU edition. We had Alabama A&M offensive lineman Carson Vincent, who, you know, he was a combine standout and a Senior Bowl standout. And then, you know, I like to leave no rock unturned. So we reached out to Langston University in Oklahoma, a D2 NAIA, you know, HBCU. And we got Travis Martin, a DB, who's drawing some attention. So definitely check it out.
Absolutely. Check that out. Talking with TD. TD joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Here on the program. Thank you, sir.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Yes, sir. Teron Davenport with us on the program. We'll react to what TD had to say coming up next. Got weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to Totally Hits 93.3 tomorrow as the Cats take on the Albany Firebirds. Pre-game beginning at 4:30, kickoff at 5 o'clock, with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at Totally Hits Nashville. com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live out at First Horizon Park. It is opening day for the Nashville Sounds. They're taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp tonight. You can check out that action starting at 6:20 in the pregame, 6:35 first pitch on 94.9 The Fan. So make sure that you're either tuned in for that, or as we discussed earlier with Chris Jones, come on out to the ballpark. You got baseball, you got great weather, and you'll have Kentucky and Tennessee on every TV screen out here. So make sure that you're all over that tonight as the Sounds open up their season. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment there. Joe, you know, we spent so much time talking about the number one pick and the idea of trading back from that. 35 is really interesting to me because, as TD talks about, you know, there's some guys seemingly every year in the draft that you think might go in the first round, that you look around and all of a sudden at the, you know, the beginning of day two on the second round, they're there and they're available. And the Titans are obviously going to have one of those picks high in the second round where you could find a guy, whether it is a Landon Jackson, who's the edge rusher out of Arkansas, or a wide receiver. Like, do you love, I don't know, you know, Emeka Egbuka? Does he fall out of the first round from Ohio State and he ends up high in the second round? Like, is he there for you? So there's guys that could be there that would be, I think, really tempting to pick and select if you're the Titans. And you have to weigh that with, number one, do you get an offer to move back from 35? If you do, then what does that look like? How do you weigh what that offer is versus, you know, some of the players that could be there and are available? Because, Joe, I'm still, if I'm the Titans, at some point here, you'd love to trade back and get more picks. It's just, what are you willing to sacrifice in order to do it?
Yeah, and who at 35, what player is there that some team behind you is like, got to have that? I mean, there's plenty of possibilities, but that's what has to happen, you know. So, and, you know, it's like the drafts. A lot of people, you know, look at drafts in terms of, you know, you got this tier, this tier, this tier. You know, sometimes you have a huge, you know, whatever, like second or third tier where it's like – in general, in terms of quality, if you had more, if you had a third round pick, you're getting a similar, you know, early third round pick. You know, the quality of player isn't that different in right. terms of the overall evaluations from, like, you know, where you are in the second round. So yeah, if you can move back later in the second round, pick up a third, that'd be big. This team needs so many players, but also, you know, sometimes there's the exact guy you want is right there. I mean, one thing they didn't do effectively under Rand Carthon was move back. You know, obviously they were moving up in these drafts. So it would be great to see the Titans effectively at some point in this draft move back, you know, and get more. They've certainly talked about that, but like you said, you know, like TD said, it's like that has to, you know, two to tango. So how does that situation come about? Also, I'd just like to see the Titans do what they said. And I know that, you know, there's more signings to come, but the idea of at least addressing need enough so that you really can yep. just be clear-minded on best player available.
You know, and I say all that, and I'm with everybody else who wants more picks and more kicks at the can. You know what I'll take over all that, though? Make good selections with the picks that you got. If you end up not able to trade back and you end up with a franchise quarterback at number one out of this and either a really, really good wide receiver or an edge rusher that can be impactful for you right away at 35 overall, and you get into the fourth round after that and you're able to find somebody that can be an impact starter for you regardless of the position there, like, I'll take that. You know, based on the way drafting has gone around here recently, Joe, I'll take that even if it means not trading back and taking the picks.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, look, in general, it's just, it's a huge, huge, huge draft for the Titans. You know, it's probably going to be a career-defining draft. It's going to be a regime-defining draft because of what you're doing, you know, at the top. I mean, that's what we said about the draft ultimately 2 years ago. And, well, I mean, you know, the GM is gone. Not everybody's gone, but the GM is gone from that. And so if you're going to do this and you're going to end up taking Cam Ward number one, that's your tenure. But in the meantime, you know, the drafts overall, this team has, when's the last time this franchise had, like, what you would call a good draft? I think we're going back to Calipari and Kentucky's last, you know, Sweet 16 trip, 2019. You know, so.
And that one was really good.
That was a fantastic draft. But, like, that's a long time, and that's probably as much as anything, other than some obvious huge mistakes, probably explains why they're sitting here at number one.
Yeah, there's no question about that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have weekend winners coming up next. Get into the NCAA tournament. A big night tonight for Kentucky and Tennessee. We'll pick that game. Preds in action tomorrow against Vegas. All that and more coming up. Tune in later tonight to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores host Arkansas. Pre-game beginning at 6:45. First pitch at 7 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A quick standings update in the competition. Joe, after going 6-0 last week, I had all the momentum in the world, and you thought, Robbie's really figuring things out here in the competition. So how did I follow it up? Well, I'm glad you asked. 0-6 for me this week. 0-6. 6-0 to 0-6. Truly horrendous. Quite frankly, this is an awful week for us in the competition. I went 0-6. Rexrow went 2-4, did get his lock. Nick went 2-4 and did not get his lock, which brings the overall standings. I'm still in first, miraculously, 16-14 overall, 3-2 on my locks, 19 points. Rexrow also has 19 points, 15-15 overall, 4-1 on his locks. Keyser 13-17. 2-3 on his locks, good for 15 points.
I can assure you that the gap is closing.
That man could be very rich at some point. We'll see what happens on the Jeremy Pruitt lawsuit front as well. We begin with Kentucky and Tennessee tonight in the Sweet 16. Tennessee, a 4.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe, I felt strangely confident about this game all week long, and it makes me incredibly nervous as a Tennessee fan. But I'm going with it. Give me Tennessee minus the 4.5 in this matchup against Kentucky. I felt good about it all week, which may be a horrible sign, but that's where I'm going. Tennessee minus the 4.5. Joe Rexroad, your selection.
Yeah, it's a quick answer for me in the affirmative there, too. Certainly Kentucky can win this game, but I think the Vols are going to figure some things out defensively, and I just really like where they are offensively right now. Look for Igor Milicic to get some big shots tonight. He kind of got his mojo back a little bit last weekend, and I think he can be a problem for Kentucky when Tennessee has the ball. We focus on those guards and their shooting, but I think watch out for Igor tonight. I like the Vols.
Nick Kieser, your selection, Tennessee favored by 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Vols, too. A little bit of taking this personally after having a poor outing in the regular season. Yeah, I'm feeling good about the Vols, too. I mean, this isn't a good sign for the program if all three of us have a clean sweep. I don't know what our record is when all three of us pick Tennessee, but be weary, folks.
The Predators taking on the Vegas Golden Knights tomorrow. By the way, Predators officially eliminated from postseason contention last night, Rex Road, so – I know some breaking news there. So, Preds taking on Vegas tomorrow. Joe, your selection in the matchup at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, they're rising up with some rando wins lately, but I'll go with the Knights.
Kieser, Vegas, and the Preds tomorrow at Bridgestone.
I'm putting 8 on black and going Vegas.
Give me the Preds, baby. Preds going to win tomorrow against the Golden Knights. They've the playoffs are missed. They actually had a great – if you're rooting for the tank, they had a great night last night. They lost. Buffalo won. Philadelphia won. It was a fantastic night for the Predators last night if the tank is all you care about right now. But I think the Preds mess around and win this game on Saturday. Jonathan Marchessault plays with a little bit of pop to him tomorrow, and the Preds get the win. We move to the individual portion of the program. Nick Kieser, your first individual selection.
Yeah, I'm going to head over to number one, Auburn, taking on Michigan. Auburn is a 8.5-point favorite in this one. Give me the Tigers, and I'm going to lock down on this game as well.
So going Auburn minus the 8.5 against Michigan and locking down on that. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
Disrespect for the Big Blue, man. Disrespect for the Big Blue. Well, I'm going to go tonight also. Purdue-Houston in Indy. Houston minus 8.5. I think Houston's going to win the game. I do think Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, and Purdue will make it closer than some people think. I think they will cover, so give me Purdue.
I also have Purdue covering plus the 8.5 against Houston, so give me the Boilermakers. Plus 8.5. Rexroad, your second individual selection.
All right, we're going to the Elite Eight. Texas Tech, incredible comeback win, down 13, 4.5 minutes last night, ruining the dreams of Tyson Chicken Nation and John Calipari in Arkansas. But now it's Florida, and Florida just wiped the floor with Maryland last night. Florida's minus 6.5. Give me the Gators. Make it my lock. They are going to win this game going away.
Well, I also have Florida minus the 6.5 against Texas Tech, but I will not log down on it. Kieser, your second individual selection.
Yeah, I know, Joe, and you just talked about this, but I also had Houston winning, but I'm going to pick Purdue to cover.
So going with Purdue plus the 8.5 against Houston. Give me, as we begin our third individual selection, give me the Florida Panthers minus 1.5 against Utah. Utah has been struggling. They got absolutely smoked last night by Tampa Bay. 8-0 was the final. And now on the second half of a back-to-back tonight, you get a date with the reigning Stanley Cup champions. I'll take Florida minus the 1.5 against Utah and make it my lock. They're going to hammer the Utah Hockey Club tonight. Nick Kieser, your third individual selection.
Going back over to the NHL as well, Robbie. I'm going to go with the fighting Dante Fabros. The Columbus Blue Jackets are minus 1.5 over the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver also kind of fighting and struggling currently, but give me Columbus.
Going with Columbus minus the 1.5 against the Vancouver Canucks. Joe Rexroad, your third individual selection.
All right, we're sticking with the Elite Eight, and we are Alabama-Duke. Duke minus 6.5. Alabama put on an incredible show. I'd love to see Alabama win this game outright. I'd love to see Alabama cover and make it a great game. Man, I just – I don't – I just think, you know, you're gonna regress a little bit shooting, and you're not gonna beat Duke unless you shoot the lights out. Give me Duke minus the 6.5.
So going with Cooper Flagg and the Duke Blue Devils -6.5 against Alabama coming up in the Elite Eight. Nick Kieser, your final individual selection.
Yeah, I hate to be going over everyone's picks too, but look, there's not a whole lot to pick from, I guess. But yes, I'm going with Duke as well over Alabama. Alabama had 25 threes, but I think they slowed down.
So going with Duke against Alabama. Joe, your final individual selection.
Okay, we're going to women's basketball Saturday. Tennessee in the Sweet 16, taking on Texas. Did not go well earlier this year. Texas, -7.5. I'm not sure if Kim Caldwell's team is going to win this game outright. I guess I'll cop out on that, but I do think they're going to cover. Give me Tennessee -7.5. I am just an absolute GBO homer today.
Just going Tennessee +7.5. Against Texas. Give me the Detroit Pistons +5 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland, obviously, outstanding all year long, Joe. I think Pistons cover tonight, and they win. +5 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Your thoughts on your beloved Detroit Pistons when you're not watching the Golden State Warriors?
Wow. Yeah, it's been – I mean, it's nice that they finally have a good team. Cade Cunningham has been banged up. Is he playing tonight? Because if he's not playing tonight, I hate your pick and it's too late.
Well, if he's not playing tonight, I bet the line would probably not be only five.
Yeah,
but
you would not.
I don't know.
You would think so. He's had a little calf thing. I'm sure he's coming back for this one. But, yeah, they're pretty good, man. They're fun to watch.
They are fun to watch. We'll take your thoughts on Tennessee and Kentucky. We'll get more into that matchup coming up next. Your final thoughts on the Titans and Cam Ward, what we've learned on that front this week, and how open other teams could be to moving up to number one. We'll get into all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Jim Jeffries at the Ryman Auditorium coming up Friday, April 11th. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Jim Jeffries at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Friday, April 11th. We are live at First Horizon Park, opening day for the Nashville Sounds. They're taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, one of the great names in sports tonight. First pitch at 6:35 here at First Horizon Park. Chase and Big Joe have arrived. They're both stretching and warming up in the bullpen. A lot of stretching going on out there, so they'll be on just after us here in a few minutes. Joe, a massive one tonight between Kentucky and Tennessee. As we discussed earlier in the program, I think you can make a pretty good case, I think a pretty obvious case, that if they get this win tonight, it's the biggest win they've had in the history of their men's basketball program. So what do you make of the opportunity for Rick Barnes, Zakai Ziegler, and the Vols? And what do you make of what you know of the makeup of this team, about their ability to rise to that challenge and meet it tonight against Kentucky and avoid being swept in all three games this year by your rival?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think it's a special team, but it's a special program. And Zakai Ziegler, just, you know, I can't say enough about him. I will plug that I wrote about him today in The Athletic, by the way. But I spent a lot of time around him last weekend because I knew I was going to write a story about him. And just, hey man, he's, you know, Grant Williams was special at Tennessee too, obviously. And Grant Williams, you know, went on to play in the NBA. He was the player who changed that program.
Yeah.
But I would argue that Zakai Ziegler represents the Rick Barnes era at Tennessee more than anyone. And I think that's true even if they lose tonight. But again, you get this one, I'm with you. I think it's the biggest win in school history. Now, if you're a Kentucky fan, you lose this game. You also say that. You say, hey, congrats. You guys beating us at Sweet 16 is the biggest win in your history. Ours are all the national championships we've won, so enjoy your little basketball success, Vols fans. I mean, but I would get them ready, Kentucky fans, because, you know, I just think Tennessee's a better team. And I understand that Kentucky won both games, but this is one of those, I agree with everybody who says, yeah, this whole you can't beat a team three times, that gets disproven plenty. But it's usually when the team that does it the third time is just clearly better than the other one. I don't think that's the case. And I think Ziegler, I think that Tennessee players over the years, I mean, Rick Barnes, you know, like they have really good relationships with Rick Barnes. And he's one of the good guys in sports, and they've really wanted to win for him. And I think sometimes that's even been a bit of a detriment maybe in some years. But this year, I think they want to win as much for Ziegler as for him too. The guy is the passion, the intensity, the just everything he does. He's not going to play in the NBA probably. I mean, he's just too small, yep. You know. But, man, I think he's one of the all-time great Tennessee athletes. And I know that's a big statement, but he should be remembered that way. And hopefully, you know, for him and Vols fans, you got another week after this of celebrating him.
Well, I said it earlier, like they've had so much success under Rick Barnes, and they've been a great team in the regular season now for several years. They've had some postseason success, right? Like they've gotten to Sweet 16s. They've gotten to an Elite Eight, another chance to do that tonight if you're Tennessee to get back to the Elite Eight, which has not happened very often in this program. It's happened twice. So you've got an opportunity to add to that tonight. But I do think, you know, it would be a shame if you got through the entire Rick Barnes era with how much success that they've had and there was never a Final Four to show for it. Like this team's, I think, is as good as any as they've had. And this team has got a chance to finally be the one to break down the door and do that. As you pointed out, Joe, like it's not going to be easy. You've got Kentucky tonight, and if you are able to get by Kentucky, which is no given, you've got probably Houston coming up after that. We'll see. We'll see what Purdue has to say about that, but probably Houston coming up after that. So, you know, if Tennessee gets through this weekend, Joe, they will have earned it, and what a moment that could be for the program if they're able to do it, if we're sitting here on Monday talking about their first trip to the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're a Vols fan, maybe you'd love it to be Purdue, you know, or maybe you'd hate it to be Purdue because you face Purdue.
Get Purdue out of here.
Yeah, but I mean, if Purdue somehow does pull off this magical upset tonight of Houston, well, I like the Vols in that game. I do. There's no Zach Edey to deal with those guys. But it's probably going to be Houston. I think it's going to be Houston and Tennessee. If that's a game, I think it's the best two defensive teams in college basketball. You throw St. John's in there too. But it would be an absolute, I mean, talk about just, you know, grueling, grinding game. A little different than some of the games we saw last night. But, yeah, look, I think the Vols have this experience. And now that they have Chaz Lanier, again, he's not Dalton Connect. It's not the same thing. But he is so confident and so quick getting that ball out of his hands and shooting at such a high clip. It's a heck of a weapon for them. Then you have Ganey and Ziegler making shots too. You know, it's their offense has continued to progress here. And I think that is the difference maker for this weekend.
On the Cam Ward front, Joe, we've got obviously the conversations that we've had about, you know, the draft picks that they've got and the price that Charles Robinson threw out there yesterday as to whether or not they could be a team that could fetch one of those huge hauls, right? Like Charles Robinson threw out three first-round picks as a potential asking price yesterday. To me, I still have a tough time believing a team is going to offer something like that with the Titans here. But as we head into the weekend here and more information to follow this weekend, where do you think things currently stand with the Titans? Is it as simple as Cam Ward's their guy and that's all there is to it? How much willingness do you think there is right now to really try to be aggressive here and get teams to offer a huge return that they're willing to pounce on?
Yeah, well, I don't know what I don't know what they can do to do that, you know? I mean, does somebody out there – look, for whatever I know, the Saints are like, look, we have to have Cam Ward, and we're going to do whatever we have to do to get Cam Ward. And so, yeah, I think if you're the Titans, you'd love to have the opportunity to field offers that are actually so good that you would consider moving out of there. And, I mean, again, like their quarterback – signings this offseason suggest that either they are just resolved to take him or that they just, you know, like they at this point, like they don't think they're going to get any kind of offer like that, you know?
Yep.
So, I mean, I love the TD, you know, little fantasy land that we sometimes make up here on this station. I mean, I do think that there's a difference between, oh my God, this is the guy, and there's just no question, we're so lucky that we can take this guy, and, oh, well, I guess we should take this guy.
Yeah. Real quickly, Albert Breer putting it out there that Titans working out Cam Ward today. Brian Callahan, Borgonzi, Chad Brinker, Dave Ziegler, Nick Holtz, and Bo Hardigree all there for Cam Ward's workout today. So we'll see what that all means when it's all
said and done. He must be sick of those guys.
He must be. That does it for us today. Chasing Big Joe coming up next, live from First Horizon Park. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.